She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Yeah, that's your United States government. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. 13th of January, Wednesday. I know you guys missed Amy tonight. She doesn't do the show on Wednesday night, so we'll just have to do the best we can to get by without her. But, boy, been some very exciting developments tonight, earlier in the day. And, probably the greatest thing. You know what? I'm just gonna get right to it right now. You heard, everybody's heard that in Burns, Oregon, big news there for a while was that the militia was harassing people and chasing them and doing all kinds of stuff up there to discredit the militia. And, you know, most of us thought, that doesn't sound right. That's not something that... And then I thought about a couple of guys that are up there and said, well, maybe. You know, there's a couple of them up there to probably do just that, just because they're idiots. But, and so then we got some testimony from people on the ground there that said, no, that's not happening at all. Not any of our people. We're keeping track of everybody. We know where they're at. And so now we find that, excuse me, hang on just a second here. All right, I think I swallowed a bug there, so I had to get it on, choked on down there a little bit. So now we find that some people have complained a couple of times about reported a car. Looked like, you know, fit the description of militia. And poking around out there at the armory, at the, I guess, the National Guard armory. So the fire chief comes by, and he sees those people over there again. And he decides he'll go talk to him. So he drives up there and finally, you know, gets them stopped, runs them down out there. And they start out, just wait a minute till this loads, because I want to make sure that this is exactly the way that it unfolded there. So if you'll bear with me just a second. I got a whole bunch of cotton picking stuff popping up here that I don't need and don't want. My computer. I knew any time I think I ought to restart my computer before a show, I should. Need to listen to that still small voice once in a while, I think. Great. All right, stand by just a minute. We've got a Firefox problem. Well, let me just go ahead and recite it from memory best I can. We'll get it up here and we'll check the facts here in just a minute. So these people, car full of guys there, the fire chief flags them down, stops them, and wants to know who they are and what they're doing. Well, they wouldn't tell. They started out, I don't remember what their first answer was, but he wasn't buying any of it because it didn't add up. So they said they were looking for deer, wanted to look at the deer up there at the armory. And that didn't sound right. So finally, he couldn't get them to come clean with everything, so he got pictures of their license plate and pictures of the car. The sheriff wouldn't let him in. The sheriff wasn't any help to him, so he calls in to dispatch. Evidently, the sheriff hadn't yet told him that you're not supposed to talk to the fire chief. So he calls in to dispatch and runs the license plate number. And who do you suppose that this car came back registered to? Just think about that a minute, especially you people that are not on Facebook. You think about that a minute and see who you think that car was. This is the people that were harassing civilians and or citizens of the town and all that. Well, as it turns out, the car belonged to the FBI. And the police chief was astounded by it. And he actually, on the spot, when he found out how deep this went and found out that the judge and the sheriff and everybody else around there was backing these lies, he on the spot resigned from his position as a fire chief. We heard this first. You know, I would have thought, just like most of the rest of you, I would have thought when I heard this on Facebook or read it, I said, oh, right, okay, yeah, we've got proof, right? Yeah, we know that's not that I don't believe the militia or the FBI would do that, because I do. But we've been trying to tell everybody since Waco that the government was doing this kind of stuff. We told them, not too long after Waco, right at the end of it there. And we told everybody then that there were incendiary devices used. Nobody believed us. 6 years later, 6 years, proof came back on national TV that, yes, indeed, there were some incendiary devices found in there, canisters, I forgot what you call them, flashbang, not flashbangs, anyway, whatever it was, and Ruby Ridge, to pick a, can we believe them at all anytime now on any event? Just pick something that's happened here in the last 20 years, 40 years, 50, 100 years. Can we believe any of them? Well, I would think that damage control right now is going to be a little tough. When I first heard that, I thought, yeah, right. And then I saw who it was from. This was from Michelle Fior. And I'm sorry, I think she's a representative in Oregon. Oh, I'm sorry, my computer's going nuts. I'm trying to do all this stuff from memory, and all this stuff has just happened in the last 3 or 4 hours here, at least when I got it. So I'm having a hard time bringing it all back up. But nevertheless, she is she's one of us. She's a politician. She's a statesperson. And she belongs to COWS. She belongs to the Coalition of Western States. All right, we're gonna have music going here. I got all this stuff I gotta try to stop now. Let's see if we can find it all. Hang on here. This really ticks me off here. All right, I got it. Didn't take too long. So, maybe I can get one of those things to come up here now. Stand by a minute. Anyway, the fire chief said that he is couldn't work for anybody he didn't trust, was amazed at what he had found out, and said he that he has learned more about the Constitution and everything in the last few days while all this was going on than in any time in his whole life. And that's a very good thing. He said, okay, I got this thing to come up here now. He got out there, actually spoke to a whole crowd of the people around there. He was a member of the Committee of Safety that they had going there. And he thought he could help keep everything calm, and his big concern was violence erupting, which is the should be the farthest thing from his mind, unless it comes from those dark colored tinted window SUV type rigs out there. So the Committee of Safety was told right away that they're not allowed to use any of the county buildings around there. Now, I wouldn't have thought that the Elks Club was a county building, but anyway, they couldn't use the Elks Club, couldn't use the senior center for any type of meeting. When they were finally given a chance to meet, their committee chairman told them they'd been blackballed within the community. As a committee of safety, they'd only tried to de-escalate things and when the police chief was told that there were strange-looking men poking around the army, he had to check it out. He was told that these men had been seen and turned into the police twice at the armory. He followed them from the army until they stopped. He questioned them. They were evasive and dishonest, telling him that he was mistaken. They were not at the armory. Then when he caught them in that lie, they tried to say that they were looking for a place to start a business. They finally admitted to being at the army, but were only looking armory. But only looking at deer. He asked them to be truthful with him, as there was just too much fear in the community. So he was concerned enough that he took a picture of the vehicle and the license plate, went to see the sheriff. He was not allowed to see the sheriff. Now, you know, we told you last night that the sheriff was not elected. He was appointed. The sheriff, either him or his wife, I think the sheriff himself, worked for BLM at some point. The judge there that appointed the sheriff is the chair of the county commission, and his wife works for BLM. So if that's not deep definite conflict of interest there. I don't know what in the heck you would call it. So the sheriff would not allow, they wouldn't allow him to see the sheriff. So he called police dispatch, had him run the license plate, came back to FBI agents. That's when the judge had had enough. He said, what in the world? Anyway, he told the fire chief today that he was the one causing fear. This was Steve Grasty. Nasty Grasty. That's the judge's name, Nasty Grasty. So Nasty Grasty said that he did not have a right to question anyone about what anyone is doing at the armory. He said that the police, the fire chief, did not have the right to follow anyone and question them. Now, let me back up here just a minute. Once upon a time, back in a place far, far away, actually it wasn't very far away, there was a group of men that sat down with the help of God and created some documents, and in fact created a country. A country was not just a land mass. This country had a representative republic for a government, and the Lord looked at it and said it was good. And within those documents, somewhere in amongst all that stuff, there's a thing in there that says that you have the right to free speech. You have the right to you have the right to peaceably assemble. You have these rights that that you actually had the day you were born. When you fell out there at the maternity ward in the nursery or home or wherever you were, you already had those rights. They were in your pocket as soon as you popped out. And this paperwork that they drew up said, you know what, we believe that these rights belong to all of us, that they are God-given, that nobody can take those away. So we're going to fill out this piece of paper right here, and we're going to tell everybody that this is how it's going to be. Except the judge at this little town had never been given a copy of that paper, because he told the fire chief, thou shalt not question anyone doing anything at the armory. You do not have a right. Thou shalt not follow anyone and question them. Thou shalt not talk to another human being. Well, needless to say, the fire chief was beside himself. He immediately resigned. He said, I will not work for anybody that I don't trust. Nasty Grasty tried to get the fire chief to distance himself from the safety committee, but the chief would have none of it. Reminding everybody that the United States Constitution, he said, we have the right to free speech. We have the right to assemble. I did not just quit this county, but I will not work for a government or a person that I don't believe in or have faith in. This has been the most monstrous meaning huge, not monstrous meaning evil or bad. This has been the most monumental thing that has happened to the Patriot movement, to the militia movement, possibly ever. Now, did it surprise us? No. It vindicated us, because we've been saying this kind of stuff for a long time. The militia movement over and over have told people about stuff like this. Obviously, there's going to be some that's sensationalized a little bit, and some of them may not even be true. Can't vouch for all of them, I don't know. But I do know that we have been proven correct on a few of them, like Waco. And at this point, having hard evidence, how do you ever trust anything they ever say again? I see that it can only escalate from here. We have peed in their post toasties. They're not going to take it sitting down. They're going to have to. They only have two choices, really. And that is to, yes, John Fish. Yeah, there's been quite a bit of pro-Constitution stuff going on tonight. I've heard a few very good things that I was interested in, particularly about flag burning and wearing, the false valor or whatever it is. So, this one event right here probably does more for our side. This changes a lot of things, actually. This changes a whole bunch of stuff. We've had people, other people have gone up there. There's been some, who was that? There were some elected officials from, where was it? Idaho or somewhere they talked. It was on Facebook today. Yesterday, actually. And they go up there. What did they find? They find a group of determined men and women that are willing to feed them, get them a cup of coffee, give them a hug, offer them a seat, offer them a place around the fire. Come on in here. Yeah. Let's talk. Sure. No problem. And some of these people that were disillusioned at best and terrified at worst are finding out that these folks are just folks. They're just up there. They're determined. They've drawn their line in the sand, and they're not drawing another line. This is it. Here's the line. We're not going back anymore. Everybody got all upset. They said the sheriff offered them a way out. They didn't go there to be offered a way out. If they would have done that, they would have never showed up to start with. We found out yesterday also that they picked up a bunch of papers there that have proven that the government has been involved in the railroading, the false imprisonment, the destruction of the family and their rights of the Hammond family, and several other things that have gone on around there. This has really turned out to be one hell of a deal. As I said, this has changed a lot of things about the way it has, the way that everyone, including myself, thought about how this was going on. Now, the only thing that's really changed in my mind is, hold on, man, I don't know what the heck's going on here. Stand by a second. Goodness. Okay. The only thing that's changed in my mind really is the, I don't really know. The initial, as these guys come in there and did what they did, I was opposed to the way that this all unfolded to begin with. And if we go back to that first show that I did on this, I've never been opposed to them being there. I've been opposed to how they went about it and how they got there and what unfolded in the beginning there. Well, be that as it may, and I'm still opposed to it, the way it was done, but be that as it may, the benefit that we're getting out of this, of the actions of these patriots up there, these rancher and these militia patriots, the ultimate, the results of what's going on is going to be, I don't even know how to put it into words. It is the most amazing turn of events today that I've ever seen. This there was somebody that posted on Facebook that that fire chief was supposed to be on Hannity tonight, and he was not. He wasn't even mentioned, so I don't know where they got that stuff. But I know because I turned it on, and I was damn sure going to catch all of it. I wasn't going to miss that. If I had to be late for the show, I wasn't going to miss that because I wanted to see what they had to say and talk about it. But they didn't. So maybe he's going to be on tomorrow if he's not dead. That fire chief right there, I'll tell you, he's got a set also. To be in the face of everything that has gone on around there, and then go off and resign his position and bring this out to the public. That's no pansy there. You gotta be proud of this police chief. I mean, this fire chief. I keep on calling him police chief. So I am dying to find out what's going to happen here over the next 48 hours in Burns, Oregon. Matter of fact, I guess we better check and see if we won $1 billion tonight. And if we did, well, tomorrow you'll find me in Burns, Oregon. That was anyway, tomorrow there's going to be some more news released, and not at liberty right now to discuss that with you, but I'll guarantee you it will probably be heard here. This will be one of the very first places in the country that it's going to be mentioned. So tomorrow night might be a really good night not to miss this show. Oh, man. I have been so jacked up about this all night, I can't hardly breathe. I've just been practically hyperventilating over this new turn of events here. But I think it's only going to get better from here. Stand by a second. There's something new right there. Let me see if that's from our... No, that's not it. All right, can't say anything about anything like that right now. All right, well, we've managed to get to this point here, and I think we better go ahead and take a little break, and let me see if I can catch my breath here. And wait just a minute. There we go.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. So help me God. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy Charger.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back. I was just corrected. I was set straight here. Michelle Fiore is a councilwoman in Nevada, which is apparently about the same as a state representative. So, but I've looked at several of the things. I was first, I think I was made aware of her sometime about, seems like it was back about Olympia or sometime, not too long ago anyway. And she's quite the gal. She's like Heather Scott and Elizabeth Scott and a few of these other ones. There's not very many like her out there. Not very many women, not very many men, as a matter of fact, as far as the representative stuff go. But we're starting to see a month ago we talked about an awakening. A huge awakening. Well, that awakening has just taken a turn here. It's just escalated quite a bit. This turn of events that have happened in Burns, Oregon over the last few days, particularly what has happened today, is going to escalate the heck out of this awakening, I think. We're gonna see some Congress people, some representatives, some senators, some mayors, some sheriffs. We're gonna see lots of elected officials. They're gonna back off, take a step back, and look at this and say, you know what? we've been going about this all wrong. I have allowed the same kind of crap to happen in my town, my county, in my state. And they're going to say, I had no idea. I had no idea we had so much power. I had no idea I had the authority to do this. And I believe that we're going to start seeing some of these people start exercising some of that authority. And over this next month, 6 months, next year, if we make it that long, I believe that you're going to see some dramatic change. We're seeing dramatic changes already. We're seeing, you know, the sheriff in, the governor of Texas told Obama, you know, stuff it, son, just stuff it. Get out of here. We are not abiding by your new gun laws, your executive orders and all that stuff. Just stuff it. And, that's right. That's a fact. Now, yeah, Michelle Fiore was at. I forgot about. I was just reminded about this. She was at Bundy. She's the one that offered her brass ovaries to the spineless legislators that wouldn't stand with us at the time. Uh huh. Yeah, that one. Outstanding. Okay. This is, like I said, this awakening that's taking place here is monumental. We're going to see a lot of this going on just over the last three months. We've seen more people say, no, hell no, we're not doing that, than we ever have, ever. Or at least in 200 and some odd years, 240 years or whatever it was. So, interesting stuff. This is going to be a lot of fun. You better buckle up because I'm sure we're going to be in for a ride here before long. So in Georgia, now is the Civil War going to start in Burns, Oregon? Or is it going to start in Georgia? On January 11th, day before yesterday, Democrats in Georgia introduced a bill that bans assault weapons and opens the door for confiscation, seizure, as they call it, of these guns, along with things like those evil, ugly, useless, dangerous, high-capacity magazines. Now, you may find this hard to believe, but HB 731, House Bill 731, was introduced by 5 Democrats. If you're in Georgia, these 5 Democrats need to be educated in the ways of the Constitution. That is Mary Margaret Oliver. Mary Margaret sounds like a nun to me. Stacey Abrams. Embarrassing. The name Abrams be on a wonderful battle implement like the Abrams tank. And here we got one trying to take away these guns. Carolyn Hugley, Pat Gardner, Darshan Kendrick, and D. Dawkins Hagler. Those are the names you need to remember if you're in Georgia. So according to this bill, now it's just been introduced. It's not law yet and probably won't be. Georgia is one of those states that does not appreciate you even mentioning anything like taking guns or restricting anything in any manner. Georgia is one of the most pro-gun states. Well, not just because of the laws. It's the people. When I was down there, there were rallies and stuff going on. This was way back in the early 90s. It was 90. I think I got down there about 92. End of 91, somewhere in there. And, you know, that's when my... that had played a big part in my, I guess, in the way that I am now. I've always been very outspoken. I've always been very adamant about constitutional rights and all that. But I never really give much thought to getting out there with a group of people and getting up on the steps of the Capitol building and doing stuff, which happened in Georgia just before I left down there. And I think that's kind of helped shove me along a little bit. But anyway, so this is not going to go over well in Georgia. The this bill focuses on, quote, dangerous instrumentalities and practices. Instrumentality? What the hell is an instrumentality? Somebody look that up and see if it's even a word. Instrumentality. Dangerous instrumentalities and practices by prohibiting the possession, sale, transport, distribution, or use of certain assault weapons, large-capacity magazines, armor-piercing bullets, and incendiary 50-caliber bullets. Like there's ever been a crime committed with very much of any of those, if any. Moreover, the details, punishment for crimes involving the possession, sale, transport, distribution, and use of certain assault weapons, large-capacity magazines, blah, da, 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 da. It also designates certain weaponry and ammunition as contraband and requires seizure of such by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Miss Mary Margaret suggests 10 other representatives have joined the original 6 bill sponsors. And she's got a web page here. It says, myself and 15 Democrat women House members. There he goes right there. House members introduced HB 731 on the first day of the 2016 session. The bill bans assault weapons, high-capacity magazines. Georgia needs debate about these weapons, which are only used for rapidly killing people. Assault weapons are not necessary for deer hunting. Well, alrighty then. Pro-Second Amendment group Georgia Carey responded on Twitter saying, Democrats finally honest about gun control. Their ultimate goal is confiscation. If they go to confiscating guns in Georgia, there's going to be some burials. I can pretty much guarantee you that. Maybe tarred and feathered, but I think before it's all over with, that they'll be planting some of them. Oh, dear. Let's see. Let me cruise down through here and see what's going on in the chat room real quick. By the way, those of you in the chat room, I know that there's a lot of things you could be doing tonight, and you have chosen to sit here and listen to me rant and rave and carry on about this, and we appreciate that. Yakima Glock found it. Looks like it is actually a word, instrumentality. How about that? The fact or quality of serving as an instrument and means to an end. Agency, a corporate body can act only through the instrumentality of human beings. You know what? Is Eddie Crump still on there? Let me look and see what's going on. Eddie Crump is still there. Eddie Crump, I'm going to be watching the letters that I get here, and I'm going to be trying to play instrumentality here pretty quick. And when I do, I'm going to win. That's the only word I got to play. If I can play that one, game's over. You can just kiss it goodbye, buddy. Well, what a deal. All right, let's cruise down through here. And you know, some of you, and probably as much as I would like to, and the facts are out there on Facebook and other news sources, I think maybe even Breitbart talked about it. So I'm not going to mention names out of respect for a couple of people that are associated with these dirtbags. We find out through this, actually, those of us that were at Bundy Ranch, the majority of us found out about this back then. But now everybody knows. This is another one of those times when we knew it happened. We, without a doubt, but we just didn't have anything that we could lay out in front of people and say, here it is. So we've got people that are or were at the refuge there that, you know, started all this stuff. One of them claimed at Bundy Ranch to be an Army Ranger. He was not. Matter of fact, I was one of them that checked. I think that I think Tampico Scout might have been the one that I think he's the one that alerted us to that. And I actually got a hold of some Ranger buddies of mine and checked, and one of several people that checked, and this guy was not at all a Ranger. We find another one that claimed to be a retired Marine, when in fact, not only is he not retired, son, he never served a day. He signed up on the delayed entry program and never showed up. He retired before he ever got started. Now, that's the way to retire. If you're going to retire from something, that's the way to do it. Save all those 20, 30 years. But nah, hell no. Let's just retire now. Let's just put sign name on the line and say, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm retired. There you go. Oh, good grief. And these are the kind of people that have led, encouraged good people to do things that they may have thought a little bit about, a little might have put a little bit more thought into things before might have gone about this a little bit differently had it not been for some of these people there. I swear. Well, we're in for it. There's definitely going to be some reckoning going on here in the immediate future. So let me once again, and by the way, let me say another thing here. I was talking about the General Broom Pusher. I talked about getting ready to been invited to teach for Defense Techniques Academy. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's not a very big outfit, but the guys, you know, pretty, got a pretty good following, and I think it has the potential of being a great, organization, great facility. Eventually we're looking at, getting something built that's permanent, but we're traveling around doing classes right now. If anybody's interested our next class is going to be Personal Defense Handgun 2, coming up in Buckeye, Arizona on the 12th and 13th of March. And I want to thank everyone for the testimonials that we've got on Facebook in my training and that have taken training with me. And I really, really appreciate that. You guys are way too kind with your comments. Detinker, no, if you're talking about the one that never served a day, being associated with the Armory Visitors, I think probably not, although there's two others there that I'm, at least two, maybe three, that I am confident were associated with the Armory Visitors. The other one that you're talking about, I don't believe was. However, he mysteriously up and disappeared. I think that he was humiliated to a point that he just packed up and disappeared. So, there you have it. That's the kind of people that... those are the kind of people right there that when someone says militia, that's what the sheep think. That's what Radio Doc. We'll talk about that. We can talk about that. Maybe we can do that. Love to have you join us. When someone says these people that are scared to go and talk up there and scared to go and be associated with some of the people and scared, that's exactly what they think about. When they think of militia, when somebody mentions militia, they don't think about me and Radio Doc and Eddie Crump and Anthony Bosworth and some of the guys that I hey, that's not what they think about. They don't think about guys that are professional, respectful, determined, are dripping with integrity. That's not what they think about. They think about the kind of guys that, they wear camo every place they go. They think their boonie hat is their Sunday go to meeting hat, and they're the type that wear all this chest full of pins and ribbons and everything that they bought down at the Army Surplus Store. Unfortunately, that is has caused us a tremendous amount of grief, and we're not ever going to get over it. Funny that all this is happening right now, because if you watch the television, watch the news right now, there's a whole lot of stuff going on about these this stolen valor, where people get all these, go down to the Five and Dime store and buy all these ribbons and stick them all over their chest here with their five-star general insignia and all that. And, as desperately as it pisses me off, they do have a right to do it. The Constitution's for everybody or nobody. If we're going to say that there's your First Amendment rights to express yourself and all that, as bad as I hate it, that's the way it is. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't take them out back and whoop their ass. That's okay. You can do that. And you can convince them that that's not the thing to do. But there's a legal argument and there's a moral argument. And legally, if they decide to make this illegal, then it's going to be illegal for people to walk down the street with an NYPD cap on. There's no end to it. As bad as I hate it, absolutely despise it, detest the people that do this kind of stuff. Can't stand them. But they do have a right to do it. They want to burn the flag, bad as I hate it, as much as I'd like to take them out behind the barn and visit with them about it. And that's okay. We don't have any restrictions against that. As detestable as it is, it is their right. So, there you have it. It's the way it is. All right. Well, I desperately need blood pressure pills right now. You have no idea how high my blood pressure has been for the last 4 or 5 hours. This has been a tremendous turning point, not only in the Burns, Oregon case, but in the whole Patriot movement altogether. This has been a remarkable deal here going on. And I'm excited to see what happens. And I'll tell you right now, I'll guarantee you that there are FBI agents and sheriffs and judges hanging around, probably not just in Burns, Oregon, probably all over the damn country, saying, oh, no. Oh, my goodness. What has happened here? And I am dying to see what's going to happen here over the next few days, few weeks, couple of months. Maybe it's not going to be long. And like I said, there'll be some more news coming up here in the next day or two that I'll share with you as soon as I'm able. And I think you'll be pleasantly, you'll just be pleased. We'll get to that. All right. I thank you all for joining me. We'll be back here again tomorrow. And Amy will be with us here starting at 8 o'clock. No, 7 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Mountain. And we'll come following up there and see if we can bask in her glory and after she gets done. Alrighty, I'm out of here. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Thanks for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.